And this is Luca's World. How's everybody doing this morning, Saturday morning? We are ready to roll. I hope everybody's doing good. I'm starting to get cold again. It's that time of year, and the thick socks come out. And I had to make a note of it. I had to make sure that I did invite everybody on here listening right now to a glass of eggnog with that little bit of nutmeg on it to warm up the season and hopefully have a blazing fire with the fireplace. Hopefully you're not looking at your house in flames, but you know, a good fireplace with a good blanket and good company. And that's how I wanted to start my show today. And thank you again for Stephen Douglas Whitener right before me with Thought Crime, setting us up for everything, because through the callers that he had and through his guest, he managed to say that, you know, we have to start working on ourselves. And it just surprised me, because that's what I wanted to talk about today. It's about, you know, what we're giving, you know, to use what we have been given by God, okay? If you want to be straightforward about it. And that's what those people like Yuval Noah Harari and the WEF are scared to death of, because they don't want us becoming good citizens with integrity, with responsibility, with doing the right thing. And that's, in my opinion, that's why they're jabbing the children to, you know, at such a young age now, even, you know, pregnant women, because we can't have that. We can't have thinkers anymore. We have to have blind, dumbed down workers. And this is what's going on. So believe me when I tell you, and I'm going to say it at least twice this hour, that health comes through working on yourself. And health, I mean, in your own life, in every sense of the word. The more you have the courage to look inward, the more things are going to change for you, the more things are happening. That's why they keep saying, you want to change the world, buddy, go home, lock the door, and work on yourself. Change yourself first. And everybody goes, yeah, 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 because there's such cliches, right? But we never think about it. The numbers for everybody to call today, 512-248-8252. And 1-800-313-9443. And I have to get my chat open, otherwise I'm not going to see anything that the producer is letting us know about. And hello, Sam. And I have to say it again. Play it again, Sam. Right? Play it again, Sam. You know, Woody Allen. It's good to have a good producer with us. And he's always listening and he's always there. He's like the shadow that you never see, taking care of every show. So I recently wrote about compartmentalizing. I swear, I think I'm coining a new word with that one. Compartmentalizing, because it's like compartmental and ising, right? And on Luca's World, that's all I'm doing. With the mess of information everywhere and patiently sorting everything out, what resonates with me, what doesn't, and deciding what's more of importance to share, and that way I don't, you know, waste anybody's time. Like we always say in the disclaimer that I used to say every show, basically it's a Socrates tale. Somebody comes up to Socrates and says, hey, have I got a story to tell you about your... And it's like, nope. You have to go through three sieves before you say anything, especially in front of a microphone. You know, is it true to the best of your ability? And it turns out the guy flunks on all three of them. Is it useful to the people you're telling it to, and is it necessary? Otherwise, it's not worth even talking about. So here I am classifying and balancing everything out in positive ways, and it's like jars. You have them open with no lids, and you can constantly access them all the time. Put this in that one, put that over here, you know. And I had really, really good insight about this yesterday. What makes good journalism is good compartmentalizing and frequent revisiting of each. And the open mind keeps open compartments, always at the ready to improve or disprove. You even correct yourself sometimes. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, didn't you say that this last week? And then you find out, you know, my first teacher in spirituality, that's one of the first things he told me. I could tell you A today and tell you Z tomorrow. Complete opposite. That's how fast things are changing. And as most of us are finding out now, the truth is far deeper than where anyone cares to swim. So, in this next example, I wanted to delve into the shots, the jabs. They cannot be called vaccines. And I'm lining myself up with Dr. David Martin's clip number 3 for this week. The third week, as promised last week and the week before, we continue with a seemingly bottomless dive into the abyss of criminality and corruption and patents. But before we go to the clip, I wanted to remind people of what I was talking about last week with the WHO that has a plan for 10 years of ongoing pandemics, with Bill Gates, who essentially is the owner of WHO, with Prince Charles predicting more and more pandemics unless the world submits to their great reset. In 2017 and 18, hundreds of millions of COVID tests are distributed worldwide, okay? Somebody knows what's going on. In 2017, Fauci guaranteed a surprise outbreak in the next 4 years. Okay, so I don't have to go through all of them. I mean, we know where we're going with this. This is their plan for doing what they want to do with us. And this is a spiritual war. So you're talking Satan. You're talking Satanism. You're talking horrible things that most people either know very little of and don't want to talk about it because they haven't researched that much, or the people that really know what they're talking about it and they kind of avoid it like the plague because most people won't believe you when you talk about it anyway. Hence what George Orwell said in 1984, lies are going to become truth and truth is going to become the enemy. You watch. It's already happening. Just have a listen to David Martin in this new clip where he talks about the CDC. He talks about the impossibility of patenting nature and a bit of investigation on the coronavirus. Have a listen.
What we're trying to do is say, does a person or does a company have the ability to control what they represent they have? Beginning in 1999, we started taking a very active interest in a number of things that appeared to be anomalies in the patent system and in the global innovation system. And a huge amount of those had to do with what appeared to be violations of biological and chemical weapons treaties that are an outgrowth of limitations following the Second World War. And so beginning in 1999, we started monitoring everything that potentially could either explicitly cross the line or potentially blur the line of biological and chemical weapons manufacture, research, anything that looked like it was potentially outside the either legal or ethical rules of international conventions. You also see potentially some of the worst behaviors and the worst actors doing what they're doing, because the patent system, unfortunately, since 1980, has been corrupted into a place where you can hide some pretty bad acting in plain sight, whether that bad acting be taking someone else's idea, trying to misappropriate a technology, whether that be promoting or potentially distributing information that ultimately will harm humanity. All that information is out there, and the number of times we found what appeared to be people doing things that certainly crossed the line of ethical or moral research was pretty compelling. So in 1999, we just started tracking every single program in 168 countries that appeared to be blurring the line of ethical and moral research. Well, I'm fascinated with the audacity of some of the worst forms of human behavior. I think that there is always a fascination, whether we talk about a serial killer, whether we talk about a corrupt researcher. I think it's fascinating when people do unethical or illegal behaviors, and then almost as a challenge to humanity, they leave a talisman or they leave a token behind as though they are challenging someone to find them. And so I look at what happens in the innovation space around biological and chemical weapons and toxins and munitions as kind of the same way I'd look at a serial killer who leaves an artifact behind at the crime scene to almost taunt you into finding them. And I think there's a lot of people who are quite proud of the fact that they have been able to get patents issued on things that probably should never have even been the subject of research, much less commercial controls and market manipulations.
Yeah. So next week he's going to be talking about a step further about what's really going on in the world of patents, and it's scary. And I have a few comments I'd like to throw out, because I never realized that, you know, my parents teaching me to tell the truth when I was a child would lead me to become a domestic terrorist as an adult. I never knew that was a possibility, let's say. And some of these memes are just unbelievable, and they go right in line with each other. This is Jason Kristoff again with another one of his gems. He says, through monetary incentives in our employment and financial systems, evil is literally paying us and rewarding us to euthanize each other. It's that simple. That's what's happening. And a guy kind of smiles and gives you that that look like, really? And his t-shirt says, safe and effective is now sudden and unexpected. Right. And what I have is a book by Dr. Vernon Coleman that I can add to that by saying, anyone who tells you vaccines are safe and effective is out and out lying. And the more I remain unjabbed, the more evidence I see supporting my decision. Right? Jason Kristoff comes back and says, I used to think that infant circumcision marked society as completely satanic and insane. But now they're openly murdering children with injected poisons they fraudulently deem vaccinations. What's going on now makes the current dictionary definitions of insane and Satan completely meaningless. And I can see where he's going with that, even though I'm really glad I don't have my soul down that rabbit hole too deep yet. But at least my tinfoil hat won't give me AIDS. You know what I mean? And go back and look at what Mahatma Gandhi said about vaccinations. And, you know, for fear of repeating myself a lot, but this is what we have to do, right? Vaccination is a barbarous practice and one of the most fatal of all the delusions current in our time. And he continues by saying conscientious objectors to vaccinations, geez, I wonder who that is, should stand alone if need be against the whole world in defense of their conviction. See, so that's adding another layer to, you know, we've been lied to all our life, doesn't it? It's crazy. When you look at all these rabbit holes everywhere, I got another one that popped up on my list of important things to talk about. And to take you a little bit on a spin, to take you, like they say in French, take you for a spin, take you a little bit everywhere. From October 18th, 1929 in Canada, remember that date, 1929, women are persons. And then it says it in French, les femmes sont les personnes, right? Big deal, a huge deal, right? Women are persons in 1929. And I'm like, I beg your pardon? They were so proud of themselves saying that, they have it on their $50 Canadian bill. The $50 Canadian bill before 2022, I think they changed it. After 2000, it was on it anyway. And I'm like stunned. The Native Americans knew that like over 10,000 years ago, because that's why they had matriarchal societies with the women at the head that owned everything and that made the incredibly difficult decisions for the tribes that literally steered the culture. No, in this case, the famous five, they're called five women, brought a case before the highest court in the British Empire to appeal a 1928 decision by the Supreme Court of Canada. That court had ruled that women could not be appointed to the Senate because they apparently are not qualified persons, quote unquote. And on October 18th, 1929, the Privy Council reversed this decision. So they have a sculpture out there. It's on the back of the $50 bill. But can you imagine? Just let that sink in for a second. Wow, like the government of Canada saying that women are persons? Oh, yeah, because they came out of the man's rib, I presume, right? It's wow. And you even hear that too. One Carolina senator actually had the nerve to say that you know, women are lesser cut of meat than men. And he actually talked about the rib, you know, to prove it. It's anyway. Well, let's go back like 10,000 years, shall we? Humans have superpowers. The placebo effect is one of the strangest and least understood phenomena. Here we go. This effect is the proof that we are capable of healing ourselves of sickness and disease simply by believing that we're being cured. That's how powerful the mind is. And I'm proof. You're not looking at it, but I mean, I'm sitting here. I'm proof to it. I'm going to say it again. I was in my lazy boy for over 550 days because I couldn't lie flat. I was faced with life in a wheelchair, and I'm sitting here dreaming of doing what I'm doing right now, of saying the words that I'm saying right now to you. I was dreaming of it a year and a half ago. And not only dreaming of it, but saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Yes, I'm going to heal myself. Not I'm going to. I am healing. Completely different. And I'll do an entire show on that. The idea of Luca's World was also about talking about my healing in that aspect. But it's really something else. I mean, I'm proof of absolutely everything positive that I've been thinking the last 2 years, let's say. Stage 4 cancer. November 2020, cancer-free now, no chemo, no radiation, no vaccines, nothing. And I'm healthier now, and I'm the biggest pain in the butt that I ever have been. I've got people around me saying it. Basically, we're all being played. Divide and conquer. If they keep us fighting one another, we'll never be able to fight the true enemy, the establishment. See, this is why everybody has to sit at home and say, ask yourself, what can I do for the world? What do I have to give? Oh, I don't have anything. I'm not really good at it. Well, what can I do? Just one person. You think that's going to go very far? How about being like Henry David Thoreau, who has a sign out in Walden Pond in Cambridge, Massachusetts. There's a sign out there that's falling apart. And it says, I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately to front only the essential facts of life and to see if I could not learn what it had to teach and not, when it came to die, discover that I had not lived. Okay? You know, this and that quote that I told you last week about how we have to practice losing everything that we have, everything that we love. You should start practicing losing it. It's funny. The Native American elders, they say that you have to lose something. You have to lose everything 3 times in order to be considered wise by the others, by the other elders. 3 times you have to completely lose everything. Think of that one. And there's Thoreau doing that, going to the woods just by himself, a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil and just writing and sleeping. And writing and just learning from the woods, exactly like we were supposed to be doing. See, so there's no connection about skin color, you know, or about white or about red or about yellow or about, it's got nothing to do with any of that. I've seen an Iranian person at one of the most sacred Native American gatherings. So we're going to be right back and we're going to talk more about solutions and inner world and inner learning. This is Luca's World. We'll be right back.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number 3, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
I love this. I love it when he does this. He lets me carry it like a wave, and this is like surfing. It really is. It's beautiful. Keep it going. Keep it going just a little bit. This is Bonnie Raitt. No. This is Luca Maino back with Luca's World, but that was Bonnie Raitt that you were listening to. Before the caller, we just got a caller, but before the caller, I just have to say, don't be afraid of losing people. Be afraid of losing only yourself by trying to please everyone around you. Okay? That's like a note to self if I ever heard one. Good heavens, we got two callers now. I'm going to say that again really quickly. Don't be afraid of losing people. Be afraid of losing yourself by trying to please everyone around you. Matthew from Louisiana, you're on Luca's World. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Yeah, this is the first time I've called your show. I have listened, you know, not every weekend, but most. And I find your show very informative, interesting. I think the first one I heard was like a guest appearance or something. And I'm sure it was you. And you were going about your martial arts studies and teaching martial arts. I forgot if it was West Coast or East Coast. But that was you, correct?
No, that wasn't me. I never teaching martial arts. No, that wasn't me. No, but it's nice. Okay. It's a good compliment, though. I did get my green belt in judo.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Okay. Well, yeah. Then I'm confusing the first this one guest host that I heard. I thought it was you as well. However, I have listened. Like I said, most weekends, not all weekends. And last week you did a name drop that I was waiting for. And you said Guido Menno, and of course you've heard of the book The Healing Hand.
Yes.
And that was your father's book, I imagine, from 1975.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and I have it actually in my lap. In fact, I have a copy I'm inscribing to a family member who's now in medical school. because it's my favorite book on history of medicine and ethnomedicine. My father was given a copy from one of his medical students back in maybe 1980. And I grew up with that copy as a young man, leafing through it and the wonderful illustrations. And I had a feeling that you were likely a son or a nephew of Dr. Menyo. And I heard you last week talking about, you know, possibly roaming or imagine yourself roaming the halls of Johns Hopkins, where certainly your dad would have had a painting or something to that.
Yes.
Yeah. Photographs, yeah. Et cetera. And I mean, we really live in dystopian times. I think probably trying to describe to your dad the events of today, it would be like a time warp.
It wouldn't be possible. That's what's going on with me and my brother right now. He's thrown me out of the family. He's ashamed that we have the same last name. He told me I should be ashamed of myself because of history, which is something else I'm going into. But let me just reiterate, right. My father wrote the healing hand with a pencil over his ear, and right across from him was a set of drums with my brother and I practicing full tilt. No
wow.
headphones or anything. He wrote his book with us playing drums right in front of him, to the Beatles, to the Rolling Stones, to, you know, and this was in Europe. And
really,
it's a really in nice Italy? Flashback that you're giving me. Yeah.
Was that in Italy or
no? We lived in Geneva,
Europe?
Switzerland for 5 years. And that's when he was a professor at the University of the Medical School of Geneva, Switzerland. And it was a big deal.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, looking at the book, and I'm looking at it now with its wonderful illustrations showing judo injuries and injuries from boxing. And it's really the history of the wound, but ethnomedicine is and the history of medicine are intricately involved in that. You would look at this book and say it was written and designed in a place of great serenity.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're telling me is it's the opposite. You were playing rock and roll and banging drum skins, right?
I don't know how he did it, but he just blocked it off. This was something that he could do very easily. But, you know, I kind of remember a different Guido Maino from those days. And you're right. It's not only telling, and I'm going to take the opportunity to say it again, the same Dr. Guido Maino that's on the halls or around the halls or in the name of John Hopkins University. I literally penned two scathing emails to John Hopkins that I talked about last week.
Wonderful.
You know, slamming them to the wall about Rockefeller medicine, about everything that they know and everything that they're doing, pushing this gender nonsense and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it's very nice of you to call to tell me about the book. I'm honored.
Well, I mean, it's just such a classic, and I was just waiting for you to name some, name drop, and you did it last week, and I just said, you know, I'm going to have to call him next week. And this is such a dystopic time to exist. Imagine being a young medical student, like I said, my family member, in his 20s.
Right.
And it's just, you can't, gynecology is going to have to be open to men as patients now. I mean, it's...
before you go there, let me just enhance what you were saying. A friend of mine...
Yeah.
A friend of mine went to nursing school. Okay, you're talking 25 to 30 years learning how to be a nurse. And at the time of the quote-unquote mandated, which is not law, by the way, because it insults the Constitution, mandates are not laws, and anything that insults the Constitution is you know, that's it, over, finished, out of the water. They came up to her with forced vaccines. They told her, everybody on the floor is getting a vaccine, or are you no longer a nurse?
Yeah.
And
that's
out.
Duress. That is the principle of duress, which makes that an illegal act. You know,
completely illegal from the beginning, but nobody knows their rights. Nobody knows the law. And like Frank Zappa says, there's a very good reason why they took civics class out of school, yeah. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, so basically today in the year 2022, if the law doesn't kill you, medicine certainly will.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm so glad there are people like you still around. That just makes me want to do my show again next week, just hearing you talk. Just hearing you, knowing you, knowing that people like you are there.
Well, I'm always, like I said, I went to call, and I'm happy I did call. And just, I'm inscribing this book in my lap to a future doctor, you know, and hopefully, see, my belief is right is false. It's in contravention to natural law. And natural law, it ultimately would go back to homeostasis. It'll come back to reason and to natural law, and all of this gender, this and that, will just be viewed as, if not war crimes, a symptom of a society gone mad.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head. If you're familiar with the Hopi Blue Star Prophecy.
I'm not.
Well, you just said it. The Hopi Blue Star Prophecy that I wanted to share today says, quote unquote, many will appear to have lost their souls in these final days. So intense will the nature of the changes be that those who are weak in spiritual awareness will go insane. They'll be seen as going insane, for we are nothing without spirit.
Well,
unquote.
You know, and what we do is we all have the honor and distinction and the great fortune to exist here at the end times. Isn't that something else? I mean, and it's end times by orchestration, not by any sort of divine. I mean, there is a divine factor to it, but we have governments in the service of, you know, some very evil forces these days. And, you know, this COVID hoax has done is it's destroyed most people at this point, faith and trust in physicians and in the system of modern medicine. And I just don't see how it can, in 25 years, rehabilitate itself. You know, I mean, I think this is basically the end of medicine, and we have to start afresh.
It was the medical practice, forgive me for saying so, but I mean, there's a reason why practice is in there.
Yeah, it's like target practice. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a reason.
Well,
I'm sorry. There's also
the butcher became the surgeon, right? The butcher became the surgeon, and you know, the pharmacist became the inoculator. You know, it's almost like they gave the right, the legal right, medical right, to pharmacists to administer vaccinations, so that they'd almost take liability away from the doctor's office completely. I mean, that's my opinion. You know,
yeah,
because now pharmacists are the inoculators. It's a really evil system, and I believe that that this era of falsity will end according to natural law.
Yeah,
and,
it will.
It's not going to be through legislation.
No, but I do have another caller online, sir. I really appreciate you calling. I have to get to the other caller, and I really encourage you to call every week if you can. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir.
I'll call back.
Okay. Mike from Kentucky, I'm sorry to keep you waiting for so long. You're on Luca's World. How can we help you?
Oh, that's quite all right. I mean, that guy, I thought I was first out of the chute, so I'm glad he was first, because I didn't know a lot of that stuff that he was talking about when it comes to you and Johns Hopkins and your dad. Of course, you had offered up that you're being shunned by your family.
Well,
what provoked me to call was your talk about placebo, and I think, from what I've read, they've tried to do some studies on that, and there is also a reverse placebo effect.
Yes.
I believe medicine can capitalize on that, because they really couch people into trusting their doctor, and I've known several situations where friends or associates or people that just talk to me will start to tell me of their medical problems, because for 25 years I ran a local TV show, and I got to be a kind of a fan of an osteopath named Dr. Becker out of Texas. And so when he switched from one network to another, we switched to the network just for one reason, to get his show. And it kind of made me into a religious broadcaster because of that.
Oh,
his
cool.
show went from one network to another in World Harvest Television. And then he went to White Springs. Not White Springs. I can't remember. Anyway, he went to one network to another. Anyway, he was an osteopath, and he talked a lot about holistic healing, and he talked to some of these mainstream guys that had short-circuited their career because they stopped listening to some of the mainstream science. And you even see this on, you know, these photo ops where they're giving the high-profile people the clot shot, as some people call it. They're giving them the shot. It's supposed to be intramuscular, and they're not using the proper technique of pinching up the deltoid muscle, and then as they jab it in, you're supposed to pull it back before you push the plunger in case you're in a blood vessel. So when you see a Canadian prime minister and his wife get these shots, they just throw them in like a dart. Don't pinch the muscle. Don't, you know, properly, well, for one thing, I never saw them evacuate the needle. You know how you're tapping it to make sure there's no air bubble in it?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of showmanship going on with this whole COVID thing. But I'm sure you read The Lancet from about, I think it was 2015, the Five Sigmas in the state of Purdah that they were supposed to not talk about. There were people at one of these medical seminars, and they were all told not to talk about what the slides that were presented. And this is published in The Lancet in about 2015, saying that half of the science that's published is just wrong. And then last summer, because of those Five Sigmas, last summer, there was somebody that did an analysis of all the currently prescribed drugs, and they said something to the effect of 92 or 96% of all of the drugs that are currently prescribed do not have quality science behind them.
Nope.
Yeah, so what are they gliding on? Has to be that wonderful placebo effect where people have confidence, so much confidence in their doctor, that they get a positive effect from the medicine. And so 6% of the medicine we have may actually have quality science and work. That's not even, you can go to the horse track and do better than that, can't you?
Well, you're talking, I have a different perception of nocebo than you do, maybe, because what I'm thinking of, when I hear placebo and nocebo, I compare myself to how clean my system was and to how I was able and completely aware of what I was doing. Somebody getting drugs, like, you know, going to the doctor every 3 months, prescription filled. I don't even think they're even capable emotionally or physically or physiologically to be able to, you know, control what's going on in their body. I'm having a hard time now. I didn't get the vaccine. I didn't go get chemo or radiation. I'm not on any pills whatsoever. And I'm having a hard time stabilizing my body, meditating, and healing just the way I am. It's extraordinary.
Well, I know two different nurses, one of which kept calling me and griping about their health problems. And they were a carb addict, for one thing. They'd been through, I forget what they said, 16 surgeries or something because of a car wreck back in the 1990s. And I just kept asking them, I'd say, have you had your vitamin D level checked? You stay indoors all the time. You're anemic looking anyway. Your skin is just crusty and white. And of course, it took me over a year to get them to check, or to nag their doctor to get checked your vitamin D level. And they didn't get their vitamin D level checked for probably another year. When they finally got it checked, it was zero, non-detectable. I knew another woman that went through four different diagnoses. I said, have you checked your vitamin D level? Zero, undetectable. After they finally, the doctor, I think it was an endocrinologist, said, yeah, we need to do something about that. A year and a half, they were on Medicare. After 1 year, Medicare stopped paying for their vitamin D, and they were taking 50,000 units a week, and they were getting outside and trying to be active, you know, even though they felt terrible, their joints all hurt. And another 6 months, they finally got it up to 30, and the doctor said, okay, you can quit now. They had to go buy 7,000 unit a day pills to mimic what they had been given, 50,000 a week. And I told them, I said, don't stop there. The science shows that when you get to 50 and your joints feel better, you're way less susceptible to infection. You know, they never got COVID. When I got my blood level checked about a year and a half ago, it was 58. Do I have nausea? Am I throwing up? No. I get out in the sun. I try to work. I split wood. You know, you got to be active. All this scare tactics they've had to keep people out of the sun. You know, you'll get cancer and all that stuff. What is that? And then the medicines like the statins interfere with your making, synthesizing cholesterol in your skin. So,
now they're blocking the sun out manually. They're going to block out the sun because they know the sun is the one thing that can heal people. But,
Are you talking about with like jet trails or something?
Either chemtrails. They've been doing that for almost 100 years. But I mean, blocking out the sun with different types of ideas that they're coming out with. It's complete nonsense. But I have to keep going with the show, though. I really appreciate you calling. If you don't have anything else to add.
Well, I'm just going to say, personally, it took me years to realize that I was being milked like a cash cow. I went to an ear, nose, and throat specialist when I was growing up, and they put tubes in my ears three times. Mm. And then the scar tissue that was left, I mean, I had horrible allergies and ear infections constantly. But when I got to be like 17 and my insurance was about to run out, which was under my dad's insurance, I popped an eardrum diving into a swimming pool, and they did a little tympanoplasty. And you know what that doctor taught me? The Valsalva maneuver. And I've never had, you help pinch your nose and you blow air into your eardrums.
Yeah.
And you keep that Eustachian tube open. He didn't teach me that until I was about to run out of insurance. He had milked me for all those years. Unfortunately, I guess it's, you know, they got to keep their payments going and their alimony, your car payments, house payments, and all that. So, why not? If you could treat somebody for 3 cents a day with vitamin D and get them back to health, they don't want to do that, do they?
No, it's very obvious. It's got nothing to do with health. Yes, thanks so much for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
You know, and we can prove this so much. Just take a look at, you know, some of the news headlines, okay? Just the news headlines show you that we're not where we're supposed to be, okay? Okay, Minnesota elects first transgender state lawmaker. Lee Fink is the first transgender state lawmaker to be elected in Minnesota. Wow, complete with pink hair. Aren't we proud? Okay. Over to Massachusetts, my home state. Human Rights Campaign celebrates Maura Healey's historic election, first lesbian governor in the nation. Okay, and we have a trans in California. We're doing good, right? I had this little girl from last year that I just have to give kudos to her. I hope you all go to jail for what you're doing to me. A second grader suspended dozens of times for refusing to comply with the evil mask mandates. She says, I hope you all go to jail for doing this to me. You know, that's a girl that I would be rearing, okay? And I'd probably be in jail if I was in love with a woman. And I keep saying that with you know, kids of age, of schooling age, no way, you know? Look at this one. Okay, well, look at this one. Listen to this one. White race in this nation is gone, apparently. Okay, huge trans man wins New Hampshire beauty contest. The guy weighs twice as much as the closest competitor. And every single person, you know, in this beauty pageant are all smiling. And there's this you know, right in the middle, you know, doesn't even look like it's pitiful. It's really disgusting. I'm going to watch what I say because I'm really horrified by this stuff, you know. And speaking of masks, you know how you know that globalists are, you know, behind the COVID scandemic really do not care about the environment or our health? Because that's going to be the next pollutant. It's going to be masks everywhere. You know, it's all about power and wealth transfer from you to them. That's all it's about. And we have the power to do everything that we can. And with this next clip with David Martin, I really want to stress what's going on with the CDC. I'm not going to wait till next week. We're going to play this, and he's going to nail it even further. And I love the guys. I love how sarcastic he is when he talks. You can tell because he knows his stuff. Let's listen to the clip together.
Because at the end of the day, a patent is supposed to be educating the public on useful arts and sciences, to quote the Constitution, and in exchange for that disclosure, you're supposed to then be able to get a limited market right in the form of a patent that you can exploit in the marketplace. If you don't have a disclosure that tells somebody how to do what you say you've invented, if you are claiming to seek a patent on something that's already been in the market or already been disclosed by someone else, there are a whole bunch of things which stand in the way of what's called double patenting or the failure to disclose an enabling disclosure, which actually gives you the ability to practice the invention. There's a bunch of other statutory reasons. But when it comes to CDC, when it comes to the coronavirus, when it comes to a number of these particular patents, the real fundamental question that we try to raise is that if in fact the CDC was trying to file a patent on a naturally occurring virus, that application would be a illegal application because you are not allowed to patent nature. If the virus had been tampered with, or if the protein sequence, the nucleic acid sequence, which is actually what the patent claim is about, in fact was manipulated and wasn't natural, then there's a whole cascade of other issues that definitely need inquiry, which is how did we go about getting coronavirus, which in the CDC's own patent, they state that historically coronaviruses have not been associated with significant illness in humans. How is it that suddenly in 2002, going into 2003, we have this magical alteration in beta coronaviruses that suddenly makes them lethal? And that question is the fundamental question that is behind an inquiry that we've been on since 1999 and Ralph Baric and NIAID's first efforts to figure out a way to increase the pathogenicity of beta coronaviruses. In 1999, there was a grant given to Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And in that grant, there was an effort to figure out how to amplify certain pathogenicity of what was called recombinant technology around coronavirus. Ralph Baric had a decade plus history in working with coronaviruses generally, had done a lot of work in veterinary science around cardiac conditions for rabbits. There was a huge amount of research on cardiomyopathy in rabbits that had something to do with coronavirus. But in 1999, NIAID funded a project in which we first see the amplification of pathogenic components of the beta coronavirus. And it's very important to understand that that happened in 1999, and the work that was done between 1999 and then published in 2002 and 2003 actually started suggesting that there were parts of the coronavirus that could be modified, specifically the ACE2 receptor and the S1 spike protein, that could be modified to increase the degree to which coronavirus could represent a health threat to humans. I want that to settle in for a minute. 3 years before we have the first SARS outbreak, we have researchers who are working on amplifying the pathogenicity of the things that make coronavirus extremely harmful to the human system. Now, that feels like that should invoke in at least one or two people a set of questions, which is, how is it that we went for allegedly whatever our evolutionary time frame is, where we were coexisting with coronaviruses, and suddenly we start manipulating them with recombinant technology in 1999, 2000, 2001, and suddenly nature figures out a way to make these things also highly pathogenic, using the exact same mechanism that we've done in the lab in 2002 and 2003. Possible? Yes. Plausible? Not a chance.
No. I don't think so. Okay, so you can see it's deliberate. Just that alone, that one clip that you just heard, it's deliberate. You can nail it right to the wall. Okay, I don't know why they're not. Dr. David Martin is a really good speaker. I've heard him talk like this for over a year and a half, but as far as anybody come to justice? No. Anything happen? No. So we're waiting on that. But I had to share that clip because it really explains, okay? They're trying to destroy life. And again, this is a spiritual war. This is nothing but a spiritual war. It's Satan that's doing it. Satan is literally killing all love and killing all life. Jason Kristoff comes up with another gem. There is currently 400 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere. Okay? For plants to flourish, you need at least 2,000 ppm of CO2. Plants start to die around 150 ppm. And yet, people like Bill Gates want to invent machines to decrease CO2 even more. If I wasn't so scientific, I believe that we have an ancient evil life-hating force that is now controlling many people on this planet. See? And it's exactly what I just said. I didn't even notice it. I'm going ad lib here. So this is what's going on, you know? And when you have common sense, it's not a gift. It's a real punishment because you have to deal with the people that don't have it. And it's really, you know, it's becoming really hard. That's why I'm alone most of the time now. And with these thoughts on spirituality and on Native American issues and of consequence and also of Native American spirituality, I really want to approach kids a lot more because the kids are the ones that are soaking everything up like a sponge. And Frederick Douglass, he nails it. He says it's easier to build strong children rather than to repair broken men, right? Because this is what we're up against. Because our children are now like stuck on their phones. I don't know if you've ever tried to take a phone away from a child. Like, let's say you're going to dinner and all the phones have to go into this area right here, or this plate. Put all the phones on that one plate when you walk in and you shut them off first. See how much backlash you get for that. We're addicted to the murder weapon is what it is. And I talked about this in August in one of my shows, one of my previous shows. I was saying that, you know, this is, you know, it's even in the Bible. Where is that quote? Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are no longer ignorant of his devices. Right? That comes from tlbtalk.com, from AltMed, a friend of mine from last year. And it was called "You Are Addicted to the Murder Weapon." And this was an article by Francis Leader. And that's what he's saying. You know, the potential warriors are addicted to these devices that the filthy rich sell them and consequently are crippled by them. So you know what I say? Put it down. And I test myself often. I do it sometimes. Oh, I've been on the phone too much. Put it next to me. Shut it down. It's good for it, too, because you recycle it. You just shut it off. Go outside. Have a coffee. And you're going, well, what happens if somebody calls? And you give yourself a dirty look. You know, come on. You know, we have to really get away from the things. Again, you know, learn how to let go of what you love or lose what you love. Because those who are stuck, imagine people that are stuck on their phone all day long, all night long. What happens with the power outage? Or if Verizon goes down, you know? I'd love to see it. We have another caller on the line. We have Chance from West Virginia. How are you? You're on Luca's World.
Yes, how are you, Luca?
Doing good.
First off, remember that town I mentioned to you in Germany hour back? Did you ever check that out by any chance?
No, I have it written down, no.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's supposed to be, that's where my family met up to come to this country. And I heard it was controlled by the CIA. I'm not quite sure. All right, but my question is this, Luca. You had cancer just like I had, and you mentioned you didn't take radiation or chemo, correct?
No, none of the other, no.
Well, I took, back in 2005, I took the chemo, and it tortured me. I lost 80 pounds, half of my body weight. My question to you is, how did you treat your cancer?
That's a good question. And you know what? It's so hard to answer, honestly, because everybody is different. See, this is the This is the evil of the medical practice. They all throw us in one box. Oh, take this. If that doesn't work, come back in 2 weeks. My case was completely different. Both cancers were eating me up so much, prostate and bladder, that I was literally sitting in the Lazy Boy and I was peeing blood much that my heart could not pump it back. So consequently, the oxygen level in my blood was unreadable. The nurse calls and she says, you can die in the chair today or next week. But you're going to die because your oxygen level is unreadable. They gave me 5 transfusions, and I went right into the hospital room. And I told them, do not give me a vaccine. Do not give me chemo or radiation. And I was able to come back because of it.
Well, I took the chemo back in 2005 because I had a very aggressive and a very fast-acting tumor. And so I succumbed and I took the chemo, and you talk about torture. I'll never forget. As a matter of fact, I lost half my body weight. I was down to 80 pounds.
Yeah.
I drank tons and tons of that Boost liquid, you know, that Boost, just to gain weight back.
I couldn't even drink it. I couldn't even drink it. You know what? I have to tell you this too, and I want everybody to hear this on the air. The doctor kind of made a boo-boo when I confronted him with, you know, how proud I was of not taking the chemo or radiation. You know what he said? With a student behind him writing notes. You could tell she was a student, you know, and she was sitting there just writing down what he said. He looks at me and he says, oh, it would have killed you anyway.
Wow.
I beg your pardon. He said the chemo would have killed you because you weren't strong enough to handle it. That's why they didn't
survive.
Give it to him.
I survived it, but it was torture. It was Taxol, carboplatin, cisplatin, Neulasta. It really assaulted my body.
I'm so proud of you for being here. I don't mean to cut you off. We have music going, which means that we've come to the end of the hour. But I hope to hear from you again next week. And thank you so much for the call. We have to go. This is Luca's World. And we'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.